My name is Deandra Poe, and I'm the founder of Glass Soldier, a duty-bound and data-driven nonprofit dedicated to the elimination of sexual assault in the U.S. Armed Forces. In this podcast, we will explore the pervasive culture of military sexual trauma and how we, as a collective, can change it.
Welcome back to season two of Glass Soldiers podcast, Duty Bound. So I'm so excited for what we're about to do in the 20 double deuce. That's like my thing this year. I'm just like 20 double deuce all day. That's my catchphrase, at least until next year. And then I got to find something for 2023. Anyway, I'm excited. I'm humbled. 2021 has just been incredible. So welcome to a new kind of me. And this platform allow me to reintroduce myself. Last year, I told you all, you can call me Deandra, you can call me D. I'll answer to either one of them. Well, this time you can add doctor to the title. Since my last episode that I recorded, I had finished my defense semester, my dissertation, my capstone at USC. So I am officially Dr. Deandra Poe. Everyone calls me Dr. D. So again, you can call me Dr. D. You can call me Deandra. I'll answer to either one of them. So I have successfully transitioned to my official and final academic title, unless I add professor to the title. You can all just call me Dr. D. So again, I'm super excited. Let me bring my microphone closer. One, because I'm recording myself on video, which I was like, nah, I'll just stick to my voice. But now people will have an opportunity to see me and hear my voice at the same time. So with that being said, let's get into this podcast and what this is all about. For those who are listening for the first time, season two, in case you didn't listen to the other one, this Glass Soldier is duty-bound, mission-driven organization about social innovation, technology, and our mission and our goal is to end military sexual assault. New gear and military sexual assault. I got the t-shirt. I got the cover, the hat, all of that going on. So you will see me. This is our brand, Glass Soldier. We are oriented to ending military sexual assault in all branches, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, the Army, the Coast Guard, and yes, the Space Force too. So the goal of this podcast this year and the theme of this year is we're going to talk statistics. We're going to talk facts. We're going to talk experiences, people talking and walking in their truths. We're going to have special guests. And we're going to do what I have been training and probably preparing and doing my whole life, which is trying to heal people from the trauma of sexual assault. So let me see. It's almost not hit me yet entirely that you can call me doctor and everything that's going on. Like I said, 2021 was incredible here. And here's why. I participated in my virtual graduation in May of 2021, and I officially defended my capstone in July of 2021, and I officially graduated in August. I celebrated on August 10th with my family, surrounded by my family and my friends, including my parents. And then nearly 30 days later, it would be the last time that I got to hear my mother's voice. Over the course of 69 days, I watched, I prayed, I laughed, I cried, and I even bargained with God over my mother. And in the most beautiful and excruciating way, I was able to be by her side and watch her transition from this life to the next. And so for the last 4 months of this year has been a blur to me. Milestones, moments, and memories for me have kind of been rolled up into this one singular event around my mother. She was my cheerleader. She was my target of grit. She was my odometer for confidence and my goals for fortitude. All the things that I am are rolled up into who she was. All the things as a child that I was embarrassed about my mother seemed like the marker of excellence at this point. So, you know, having to go through this experience and come out on the other side and not have it affect me is a complete lie. Grief is such a powerful, raw emotion. It's a transition in itself. It's a roller coaster ride of days when you're feeling like I can do this and I can put one foot in front of the other. And a smell, a memory, a picture, something would pop up and instantly you're grieving again. And it's so similar to trauma in that aspect that it's a process. It's a process that I'm still going through, and I'm grateful for the people that I have around me. So, you know, by societal standards, my mom was not an educated woman, but she was smart and talented. And I take this brief period in my platform to talk about her because I want to forever have this etched in time that all the good you see in me is because 50% of my DNA is coming from her. And also because it's my podcast and I can do what I want. So that was my mother. Her name was Lorraine, and we called her Rainy. And I miss her dearly. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity. She had the opportunity to call me Dr. Daughter and see me go to this level, to this next level. So everything that I do from this point on, don't get me wrong, I was pushing myself hard prior to and getting to that point. But everything that I do from this point on is definitely about legacy and generation, building generational everything, wealth, knowledge, power, stability, all of it, and leaving behind something that she can from the heavens be proud of. So, and because 2021 came to such an incredible end, let me begin by saying this new year for a lot of people, not just me, there we will dive into a lot of different things, policy, practices, and point of views. Everyone here is welcome. So here's my promise to my viewers and my listeners. One, every episode we will talk about mental health, we'll talk about wellness, and we'll make it applicable to serving in the military. Two, we're going to highlight some awareness that needs our attention still, and some that just don't get enough awareness, and I think it's high time we do. And three, we will have special guests on every month. We'll have someone from the community, from our organization, from outside organizations, people that serve, that didn't serve, that serve veterans and our military members. So yeah, we're going to do all of that this season, and I'm so excited. So new year, new me, everybody goes through the, you know, New Year's resolutions, which I think there's some statistic out there that like 70% of people don't keep their resolutions, or after like 15 days, they give up on a resolution. So we're not talking about resolutions, but we are going to talk about boundaries because those are important. And I think in this last 2 years, going through this pandemic, going through all these transitions, I think people are consciously more aware of their personal space and their peace. And in the military, that can be a tough road to navigate when so much of your life is controlled by your leadership. And when I say controlled, I mean a good majority of your time is spent with people in uniform outside of your personal time. So you're dedicating a huge majority of your life to being in this uniform, finishing your mission, doing your job, so forth and so on. Personal space is probably the last thing that people are like, no. And how in the world do you set boundaries when you're in a military and you've got people, customs and courtesies would say otherwise? Well, let's talk about a couple of them. And these are just some that in practice I help clients with, myself, I help myself with, family members. Anybody can use these, but we'll make these applicable to our servicemen and women. It's important. And again, this is my platform. So first one is seek help. I know everyone's like mental health in that aspect. No, we're talking about boundaries outside of your counseling statements, which everybody should be getting on a regular basis. I can't speak for other branches in counseling statements and how they do them. I am speaking from my Army perspective. So I would love to hear from other branches in how things are done in terms of counseling statements, your leadership. It would give a fresh perspective and also help us as an organization. How do we help service members outside of my lived experience? But outside of those regular counseling statements where you're sitting down with your leadership and you're going over expectations of your job, ask what right looks like and what your priorities you should be focusing on. These set the tone for your personal boundaries. Because when you have a job to do and, you know, nobody's going home at 5 o'clock, I know when I was in, it was frowned upon if you left after the flag went off. So, you know, first one in, last one out. And there's nothing wrong with that mentality if you have the ability to. But if you have a family and you have obligations, you've got to prioritize your day because you should be able to get everything done within the allotted amount of time. That's not the case. It's rarely ever the case. Sometimes there is going to be things left on the plate. But again, setting those, asking your leadership, what does right look like to you? You know, what are the priorities? What are the things that I should be focusing on a day-to-day basis? And then create your own checklist of, you know, things that are immediately on fire, things that are kind of just smoldering, and things that you can put away or get back to later. The second thing is kind of auditing your feelings. And that has to do with your boundaries. So again, I'm not talking about the major, your commander, your first sergeant, you know, just irritating you because you've got a job to do and things aren't getting done. You're not hitting, you know, the things that y'all set out to do for the week. I'm talking about as you get to know your leadership, understand when you feel stressed and anxious. Who is it with? Why? And when does it happen? Check in with yourself. There may be boundaries that are being crossed and you just haven't even taken the opportunity to pause and say, why do I feel this way around this person? You know, what are they saying at the time? Are they crossing my boundaries that I set up that we talked about in that counseling statement, like not calling me when I'm with my daughter because she has special needs and we do play therapy at, you know, between 6 and 7, or not calling me while I'm at church, things like that. We'll get to that later. Setting limits, that's number three. Literally was number three. Setting limits with personal areas. Clearly communicating with your leadership that there are times that are completely off limits. Again, church, worship, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday night Bible study, an hour that you get home to be with your kids to get them settled in, going from the daycare center, doctor's appointments. Your leadership needs to know that those are your boundaries. And at those particular times, you're not going to be available. There's nothing wrong with that. I know that I'm probably going to get pushback from some people that are like, you're a soldier 365 days. Okay. But I'm also a mother. I'm also a human being. And I have responsibilities that cannot be left, because at the end of the day, while mission is important, if I go and leave my kids alone and they're not supposed to be alone because I had to go do something for you that really wasn't on fire and the cops come to my house, you're going to be looking at me like you should have known better. Well, sir, so should you when you called me and told me that you needed to have this done. And I was explicit about my boundaries being crossed because there's more than one person that works in the military. So clearly set your boundaries and your personal time. The next one, don't just tell people what your limits are. When they're crossed, address it. And I don't mean in a passive way, like, okay, this one time I'm gonna let it slip. No, if your boundaries are being violated, you need to be clear, no. The next day when they come in, like, hey, why weren't you available between X and Z? Because, sir, ma'am, I told you that at this time I'm in therapy with my child or I'm at church and I'm not available during those hours. Mad if you want. But at the end of the day, a good leader will understand personal boundaries and not being crossed if it's something that I can get to. If not, I promise you, somebody else will pick up the tab unless you are the only person in the whole wide world that can do whatever they're asking you to do. In that case, again, is it like on fire? You drop the ball. And it might be. There might be a situation where that actually does come up. I'm not saying being disrespectful or, you know, definitely don't be like, Dr. D said on Glass Soldier that you crossed my boundaries. And she said, I don't have, let's not be immature about it. But at the end of the day, you need to be vocal about your boundaries being crossed. And this is not just professionally and personally. This is what we're talking about at the end of the day here, sexual assault. You setting up boundaries will let somebody know that they cannot test you. Like, you can't even draw a line in the sand with me. You better not even come near my sand if I'm setting up clear boundaries. So that's what I mean by don't just tell people that you have these boundaries, but really exercise like your judgment and saying, no, I'm good. There's one that probably people don't think is a boundary issue, but so relatable. And people have heard this word so many times in the military, delegate, delegate, delegate. Officers, leaders, senior NCOs, delegation is just one of those things, a tool, a skill that you have to learn how to do. Because again, you're not the entire army. You're not the entire branch that you represent. You're not the entire unit, company, brigade, blah, blah, blah. So you have to learn how to delegate. This is often emphasized in the military to leaders, but rarely in a way that it's intended. Leaders don't just delegate for the sake of their rank. They trust the people that they're tasking with these. So delegating is for everyone so that you can avoid burnout. The mental health aspect of delegation and boundaries is to avoid burnout and flipping out on somebody when they come to you and ask you. Because if you have porous boundaries and you just can't say no, you're going to wind up being that go-to person. Yeah, it's going to lead to you being burned out and them being frustrated that you did a terrible job. Because at this point, you're just juggling too much. So delegation is not just about leadership, but also taking care of yourself and setting those boundaries. This one's probably going to be hard for some people. Don't respond immediately to a request. Like I said, I'm probably going to get some pushback for some of this. But when I say don't respond immediately, I don't mean sit on email for 7 days or 5 days or anything crazy like that. But I mean, take the time to assess your ability to complete the task. This goes right back to prioritizing and avoiding those porous boundaries to, you know, have the need to immediately respond. I will say I'm one of those people that I hate notifications on my phone. So I hate that little red dot. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to get rid of it. I've learned now to wait until the end of the day to get rid of my notifications, which ultimately takes up more time than if I just do it in the middle of the day and get rid of the notification. But I digress. Don't respond immediately. Really do take into consideration what your leaders are asking you to do Can you do it? Do you have a timeline? Like, do you have all the tools to do what they're asking you to do? Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I need you to go build me a bridge, and they give you zero wood or nails. Okay, so that's my little nugget for the wood, the nails. Anyway, don't respond immediately. The next one is by Peter Bergman. He's the author of a book called 18 Minutes, Finding Your Focus, or Find Your Focus, Master Distractions, and Get the Right Thing Done. So he suggests that you go into a room by yourself and practice saying no. Now, here comes the weird part. Not just practicing saying no, but go into a room and say it 10 times out loud. Just no. Now, I don't know how aggressive you want to get. You definitely don't want to go in there and be like, no, no, no. You want to mean it. You want to have some chutzpah behind it so that you understand. You also don't want to yell it either. I'm not talking about something like a violent no. But practicing no, it will help you learn the art of saying no when you need to. No, I can't do it. No, this isn't possible at this time. Giving the, you know, I guess the politically correct answer to saying no, not just no or hell no or absolutely not, but no, I can't do this because X, Y, and Z. Setting those boundaries and the understanding of the reason why you have to say no. Now, if it's no because I don't have the time, perhaps leadership will be like, take somebody else with you, or what time do you think you can get it done? I mean, this is all about compromise negotiations just to get things done. It's not some nuance that, you know, we're just coming into. A good leader will understand that, should understand it. I said a good leader. I'm emphasizing a good leader. I know there are plenty out there that hear what they want to hear. And the last one that I'm going to say is going to push back against this one for sure. Check in with yourself. In the beginning, it may be the most difficult because you may think my career is on the line. Setting boundaries is a skill. It must be practiced and be consistent. Check in with yourself. What are my boundaries? I think I said that earlier. I'm emphasizing it again. Audit your feelings. There's a reason why I'm coming back to this. Because if you have porous boundaries, and when I say the word porous, and again, I believe that my entire audience are intelligent people and they know what porous means, like a sponge. If you absorb everything, if you are a yes person, if you cater to the request of people around you, and you're getting it from your leadership, your job, and you're getting it from your wife and your children, your community, whatever things that you have going on, you are going to wind up burned out, and no one will be the benefit of all the amazing things that you have to offer. So check in with yourself. Create the consistency that there are times when you will be unavailable to any particular person. When you're unavailable to your leadership, you may be focusing on your family. When you're unavailable to your family, you may be focusing on your volunteer work or just yourself. This is just me time. At the end of the day, check in with yourself. Check in with yourself with your family. Check in with yourself with your job. But check in with yourself and make sure that you are not allowing people to violate your boundaries and cross your boundaries. And then set the standard. Give yourself a standard. Give them something to aim for. And I don't mean that in like a shoot you down type of aim for kind of way. So I want to hear from other leaders about this. I am very curious, as you know, we'll be offering this through video. So I'm looking forward to the comments. The professional comments about this. And I also want to hear from junior service members about setting boundaries. It will be interesting to probably conduct the survey. So this might wind up in our research, and perhaps we'll do that, you know, at the Impact Center in Austin. Yay. Oh, did I forget that too? By the way, Glass Soldier has a headquarters and a whole impact center where we'll be doing research in Austin. So yeah, I'll tell you more about that at the end because my time is almost up. But yeah, well, it'll be interesting to hear from some junior service members, especially our young people, 18 to 24, where they may not have had those boundaries in their home life going off into the military, especially as teenagers. You really don't. Some parents don't set boundaries, don't teach children boundaries. They're often violated as parents because you're like, you live in my house, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard it. So with that being said, it is time for Are You Aware? This is a part of our podcast where we will highlight some very important movements that are national, international, and global in the awareness realm. So as such, January is actually National Human Trafficking Awareness Day and month. The Human Trafficking Awareness Day is on the 11th. So I'm going to highlight a fact about each one of these days because, again, there are some that are very well known and there are some that are not that I think should get some more attention. Or maybe you didn't know this fact about them. But either way, we're going to have some fun with it. This doesn't all have to be doom and gloom. And yeah, I'm fun. That could be fun. Anyway, it's time for Are You Aware? Human Trafficking Awareness Day, January 11th. There are multiple types of trafficking. A lot of people don't know that. It's not just sex, but there's forced labor, there's domestic servitude, and even organ harvesting. Yes, there are people out here that are harvesting other people's organs. It is not something out of Saw. And as demonic as that sounds. But yes, there are people out there, even in the military. My friends, you are literally a Google search away from finding out that there are people that conduct sex trafficking rings in the military, in the service. If you Google Fort Hood and sex trafficking ring, you'll be surprised. Or maybe you won't. World Logic Day is January 14th. So fun fact, it was brought about to kind of help bridge the gap between the sciences to kind of foster innovation and science and technology with our logical minds because, you know, logically, we're as a human being, we're one of the few mammals that have logic, that can think and all the nuances of us connecting what we do every day. So as a social innovator, I love this concept of having World Logic Day. National Nothing Day, January 16th. I know a lot of people are like, what's that, a day where you do nothing? Actually, no, it's kind of like literally an anti-holiday day. So similar to an anti-hero, if you know what an anti-hero is, National Nothing Day is literally don't celebrate anything day. Nothing, even if something falls on that day. January 17th is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So that is, I mean, literally a day of doing things in your community to bring about unity everywhere, any community. And I'm going to quote Martin Luther King by saying, we must remember that intelligence is not enough, but intelligence plus character is the goal of true education. And my personal favorite holiday in January or awareness is National Hugging Day, January 21st. So fun fact, if you hug someone for 20 seconds, you release oxytocin. There's a word for you, which can reduce anxiety and lower your blood pressure. So for 20 seconds, find a loved one and make it weird. Just hug them because I know we usually do like the 3 seconds and the bro hug, but pull them in for 20 seconds, lower your blood pressure, help your doctor out. So that is the end of season 2, episode 1, where we talked about some boundaries. I'm going to let you guys go to the website, www.glasssoldier.org, go on there, donate, volunteer. If you want to help contribute to what we're doing, you want to volunteer to be on our advisory board. If you are a veteran or an active duty service member, you are more than welcome and you can remain anonymous and still serve. If you are a board member who has skills that we need to be able to take this organization to the next level. And I mean, to the White House next level. Please go onto the website, submit your resume, your CV, and let us know what skills you bring. We need technicians. We need statisticians. We need mathematicians. We need researchers. I need social media gurus and somebody that's like, I got an hour a week to help you. Come on in. We're looking for everyone. Thank you so much for spending this hour with me. Time is a resource. I can't give back to you, but I sure appreciate you giving it to me. Bye.